option to run.
Can you tell me how we would do that advertising? And is it actually advertising or just a notice?
It would be a notice. We'd go on the website. There'll be posters. They'll post something at the transfer station.
Okay.
Facebook will put notices out, post things here.
But we're not spending money on advertising particularly.
No, we have no paper to advertise.
Well, that's what I thought when I read it, but anyway, I support it completely.
We'll put out as much information as we can.
It was just the use of the word advertising. That's all made it sound like, you know, I don't know, billboards, right?
Well, I think the we went with the reduction, and what I would like to add here, too, that just because of some emails we've received, that it was in an open, regular council meeting where it was discussed, and so it was certainly public, and people had the opportunity. But I realize, too, that not everybody wants to sit in on a council meeting and hear what's going on. We reduced it, I think, to the 1 month in each season, mainly because of our concern. I mean, we've offered this free service now for quite some time, and we obviously always have to be cognizant of the fact that what we're doing with this particular, with the brush and leaves, and how long we can continue to do that. So it's sort of a weaning, I think, at this stage. And that we may get to the point, I hope it never comes, but that the free grace period even disappears, depending on what we can do with the material. Something like with the tires, which we're able to resurrect, keep that going. I'm not sure that we can necessarily for any length of time with the brush and the leaves, that free period. Let's hope we can continue it. But I'm just thinking this is good for the public to know now. This certainly, a lot of them noticing what was going on, and they didn't like that. The one thing I'd have to question, I guess, is the charge that the transfer station attendant has been going with, because I think it says in our bylaw that it's $30 per load when it's not in a free grace period. And so that would be, I guess they're averaging so much a bag if the leaves are in a bag. And I think he's been charging $3 a bag. My concern is that the $3 a bag is not in the bylaw. It doesn't say that. And so I think we have to either amend the bylaw or stop that practice when it's not in the grace period. I don't know where that $3 came from, unless it was just an estimate that somebody came up with. But I'm thinking this will help resolve it for now for those particular people who had to pay and were unexpected. They didn't think they had to pay, because normally it would be November 15th. And even though this says November 15th, I would assume that if this goes out there and if it passes, that the transfer station attendant wouldn't be charging from the 7th to the 15th anyway, so that wouldn't have to be reimbursed. Mm-hmm. But I just put it in there because that's the period that was originally in the bylaw.
So are we expecting that Andy would provide this information to you and that we would issue checks?
I assume it would be by check.
Okay.
When the deposits come in from the transfer station, he provides us with the receipt book. And
right.
Hopefully he doesn't just write cash and leaves.
Yeah, well, that's hope.
But as long as he's got the person's name in there, then we can locate them.
Your hope.
Well, we should be able to.
My only other observation is by saying what we have here on the bottom of page one, when we talk about it on the last statement on page two, that we need to advise ratepayers of that too. In other words, if you have paid, we will provide a refund, provided we've got a receipt to go with it. So if we're going to quote unquote advertise that, we need to advertise what's in the second last paragraph as well.
Now that's fair enough, I guess, because if they just waited and they just got this surprise check, they wouldn't know much about it. But there's always a possibility that, if it's advertised, they'll see that, well, I didn't get that check. Why didn't I then? Because I paid. And that's where we have to track down, and hopefully he's keeping a good record in there. Mm-hmm. Councilor Craig.
And that's one of the benefits of the transfer station card. Because then the person comes in, they give you the transfer station card, they give you the payment, they go unload, you can multitask, you can take the name, write it right in the receipt book, do whatever else you're doing at the same time, then when you have an opportunity, give them their card and the receipt back. So,
where do the leaves go once we, like, do they go to McDougal too, or?
relocated. They're supposed to.
Compost somewhere?
Yeah.
Sorry, I wasn't asking a loaded question. I genuinely didn't know, so.
Ask for hassle.
Yeah, I just happened bad timing. I just happened to land there when a couple individuals were hammering Andy pretty good, so I got called over, and it seemed like an awful, well, obviously they were saying they weren't notified, but it kind of seemed funny that a charge for dumping leaves had just come into effect when half the leaves are still on the trees and they're falling as you're speaking to these people. We are now going to start charging you today, but meanwhile, leaves are still falling, so I don't know. It just seems a little funny. Like you say, it's probably going to come to the point of charging all the time, but the timing for leaves just seems really bad. It's right in the when everybody's raking, it's like, hurry up and get there, or, you know.
I think one of the problems probably was that we discussed this earlier in the year, and we didn't know where the leaves were going to fall.
Well, you know.
I mean, we talked about, you know, October 15th as the date, and you mentioned it'd be after Thanksgiving sort of thing. And you thought that was always safe because the 15th is always after.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked about all this through council, and this is the date we agreed on. Originally, I think we had, if I recall, I had mentioned using May. I think Greg had talked about that would be a good month, and October. So that would have taken care of the leaves falling, I think. But then it was changed to middle of, I guess it was April until Victoria Day, and then from, would that be right? Yeah. And then from October, what was it? I guess September 15th to October 15th.
Mm-hmm.
So if we'd stayed with the actual month of May and October, then we might not have had the problem. But
which would have been till October
31st.
Right. I really think I would only suggest that we consider that changing it, because I think it's going to happen every year where people are bringing their leaves in when they fall, which is going to be mid-October, pretty much bang right on. And summer.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether we talked to Greg about it, but whether we do look at that. And it was an oversight, and I was dumbfounded when I, oh, you're kidding, we made it October 15th, because I was thinking brush.
Mm-hmm.
And leaves just was not on my mind when we were discussing that bylaw. So I don't know if council has any desire to maybe look at the date change there.
Yeah, I think we have time. We'll resolve it for now, and then certainly we can.
Yeah, for next year.
Yeah,
yes.
And the bylaw, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe we'll confirm with Greg that that's, he thinks that's fine, and if so,
yeah.
And maybe we'll get that changed. Cause it's,
we can maybe put a notice out with the interim tax bills as well this year, just reminding them that it's,
that would be good.
It's
yeah.
in place, so that
another,
they know in February, that come April and May, that it's going to be in place.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Any further discussion? All the question, all those in favor? I'm opposed. Carried. And resolution 23-700, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby accept the resignation of Linda Filion with regrets on the Township of McKellar Recreation Committee, and further thank her for time and dedication she has given to the committee. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And resolution 23-701, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryland, be it resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept a quotation from Iron Design Welding for the supply of labor and materials is required to custom manufacture and install an exterior handrail at the south side of the municipal office to aid those walking down the stairs to the post office in the amount of $6,580 plus HST of $855.40 for a total of $7,435.40. My understanding from looking at the quote is there were two railings, one to the post office, one to the youth room. I could be incorrect. It looked like one was 52 and one was 42 feet. So this just says to the post office, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There are two. But I don't have the quote in front of me, so I don't know.
Is it in two sections, maybe? I don't know how long, how many feet it is from the top to the bottom. Like, I'm thinking maybe it goes one railing and then it goes down and goes another railing.
Well, it will be. It'll go that way. I mean, I'll have to go with the steps.
Yeah, it says 52 feet on one side and 42 feet on the other.
Right.
So, yeah, that motion is should have south and north sides.
Right.
Or both sides
both
might
sides.
Fit in there better.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Or is it?
No. It's attached to the wall. I think it says there, too.
Yeah, but is the other, both are attached to the wall? Okay.
Yeah.
When I first looked at it, I thought they're having two railings, one on the wall and one going down.
That's what it first looked like.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, actually, when I read it. You're right.
Yeah.
I didn't read it carefully enough, so.
So this is just one railing on that side of the building.
No, over here, Ted.
Where does it say that?
Right in the
right
first
at the top,
two, right?
Second line.
52 on one side of the building and 42 feet on the other, the opposite side of the building. But it doesn't say north or south, but it does say that. So
it's not 42 feet. So is that flat here, or is there any steps on this side here?
Steps leading down from the kitchen to the youth room.
Right.
Yeah.
And then from here down to the posting office.
But from the front doors of the building here down to the south corner, isn't that 42 feet?
No, I think it's only down this end of the building, not.
I'm not sure if there's anything in front at all.
There's one step down. If you walk out onto the concrete, there's one step down. And then you can walk to the stairs.
Yeah, so it's just down the side, the ends of the building. 52 feet on the post office and 42 on that.
Yeah, that's shorter.
Well, I thought so until I looked at it. Now I'm not sure, but I didn't measure it. So
I'm sure
it happens a lot longer than I thought it was, because it goes down on the other side of the youth room door. Even.
Yeah, because the youth room door is at the very the end, like the very east end of the building, and the post office is not.
So almost like that
larger
is 42.
It's 42 on that side and 52 on this, but I don't know that. That's just.
And it intrigued me a little bit about the no rust and no paint down in the future. The extra money did kind of make me think about it a little bit.
Yeah, the option too, stainless steel.
Yeah.
I'd lean that way a little more myself. I know it's another $1,900 on each end, but it's forever, I would think.
Be less maintenance?
No maintenance ever, I wouldn't think. And then if the paint does start to chip off after a few years, then it's almost dangerous. You know, people slide their hands down it, and the paint's chipping, not a great scenario. So I don't know whether we get a recommendation from Greg on that, or...
Well, it'd be interesting to know when he planned to install it. The date's on there or nothing?
It's just estimate, right?
Yeah, whether we need to do it tonight until we get some more information, I don't know. I mean, the sooner the better. It'd be nice to have it for this winter, but then again, I'm not even sure if staff cleans the walkways.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Do they?
They
yeah.
did last year.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they never used to for years, but then it seemed like last year they did, because people were struggling going down the road.
Well, there is the problem, certainly, with the ice forming from the where it drips in the corner.
I'm almost thinking that this 42 feet is this section here, because it's not completely flat. There's a slope down from this front door down to that south corner, 42 feet, and then the 52 feet down to the post office.
Having said that, it does say, Mike, on the opposite side, like you couldn't call the west side and the south side opposite sides. I couldn't anyway, but I mean, I admit there's room for misunderstanding for sure, but it would be good to find out.
Yeah, I don't think we really need one along there, so I'm hoping it is.
How much traffic do we get to the youth room in the wintertime?
Not a lot.
It makes a lot of sense that it's talking about that side of the building, so just if we can confirm that.
Trouble is, if you do put it on this end and somebody ever fell and fractured their skull over there.
Well, then that would be a good reason to confirm where the railings are going.
Yeah.
Are we getting one on that side of the building?
Yeah, we need that confirmed.
Yeah.
So maybe we should defer this and then find out further. Yeah. And ask Greg for his opinion about the stainless steel option.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so.
Yeah. And he might have looked at it on that side because that's going to be something that's going to come up with AODA compliance.
Yeah.
So it may be that. I would have to get clarification from Greg because he might have just thought, let's do them both.
Well, he probably thought if we're doing down here, let's do that.
And do it because we're going to have to do it anyway.
Okay, so we'll also be call for a deferral. All those in favor? Okay. Celebrate Canada Funding Program. Resolution 43-702, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen, be it resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby direct the Treasurer to apply for the Celebrate Canada Funding Program for activities organized on July 1st, 2024. I'm looking through the program in some detail, and I've thought about this for years, way back when. July 1st is on a Monday, which concerns me, having anything on the Monday itself. I guess maybe people have holidays, and they would actually go. There's so many activities going on July 1st. I really like the looks of the Multiculturalism Day, June 27th, if that can be moved to the 29th. My idea was, and just hear me out, I'll be brief, was that we have people from all different nationalities within the township itself and within the area. And to set up a day like that where they come out and display, it could be the cooking, it could be music. You have to look at how you do the cooking, of course, bringing material and food into the center, but I think it can be done. And to have something like that as opposed to compete with all the others on July 1st and set off fireworks that some people question the spending money on those. I'm just throwing it out there as an option because you have to apply to one of those days, I suppose. And whether you think that would be interesting or maybe you don't want to do that at all. So.
That's a Thursday, just for the record.
It's a Thursday, but that's why I want to check with Roshan to see if that can be moved. I think it can to a Saturday. No, July 1st is the only one that says in the application it has to be on that day.
Yeah.
And the others, they have actually multiculturalism on a week. So I think it can be moved. And I looked at some other applications that were done in other years. So that would have to be verified. But I'm thinking if it would be moved to the Saturday, that would be better than the Thursday. Anyway, I'll just throw it out there as an option. We maybe want to stick with the tried and true July 1st. It's a lot of work, I think, on council's part to organize. And we'll turn over as much as we can to the Recreation Committee, but they've had a lot of experience this year.
But by then you can use the handrail down to the youth room. So.
Just that it's unfortunate what happened this year, I guess. It had to be refunded, returned, because it wasn't used. It was, so many things going on this year, it just wasn't coordinated that we were able to spend it on that particular day, but and we may have had was there a ban on that about point two? I don't know. Fireworks ban.
Fireworks, yeah. Yeah.
So
I think that's a good idea. I think we should Roshan to investigate that further. It would be good to have a multiculturalism.
Well, we had, I mean, it was just the great, I don't think it's been done every year since, but we had the Sri Lankan from
the
ministers.
That was great.
They prepared everything and had the meal there, and the place was quite full. So.
Yeah.
And that's just one particular nationality. So.
And Roshan's wife is a really good cook.
Oh, is she? Okay. There you go.
Yeah, we can call it multiculturalism. We're just going to say it's Roshan's feast.
So it the Canadian Multiculturalism Day is June 27th?
Yeah. That's what it's. I'm looking at it. If Roshan could look at changing that to the 29th, I think they would probably go along with it.
Definitely, I will ask the advisor about it. And
right.
But since we are on tight
I know this
timeline,
is
I have to submit the application by November 21st.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
November 21st? Okay, so go for it.
Well, what you could do is have a resolution that you submit for such and such a date, and as a backup, you would use the second date. That gives you clearance that you can
right.
do either.
Right.
If they don't accept the extension, then you could go for the July 1st, I guess.
Yeah, with the if they do the June 29th for the multiculturalism, that's basically kick off the July 1st long weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
that could be part.
That's true.
Yeah.
will be the location for that?
Well, I think it would have to be here at the community center. That's
okay.
Because of the kitchen and the cooking that would be involved in.
Okay. Because the Minerva Park is on, does it start from July 1st or?
I don't know.
Yeah, there'd probably be a market. That's when
they'll probably start late June then, right?
July 1st.
No, July 1st
yeah.
is always their first.
July 1st is Monday. That's what I'm saying. So they'll be late June as well when they start.
Yeah.
That'd be the first market.
So that makes it even better then. You have more people if they come to the market. They can also come up to this.
Could be a good marriage.
Sean, we can give you a little cigarette tray and you can walk around with snacks and say, if you want more, go up the road.
So I'm just wondering if we should go with June 27th and then use the July 1st as a backup.
So what would like the council see in that festival, like food and dance and music and everything, or just the food?
Food. If you diversify it too much, then you know the Sri Lankan dinner was food.
Yeah.
So are you going to meet all the obligations of what you put in the application? I think the simplest is just keeping it to food.
Yeah, it's hard to, because you don't have much room to do much more than that. I mean, I guess it could be entertaining. You're putting on your Ukrainian. I guess they're doing something.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that would
be confirmed.
To see if that's what they do. And I think, well, they probably do food and
music. They're doing food. And I think maybe some sort of a dance show,
right.
Maybe they're proposing or something.
Mm-hmm.
So if
you're
going to
do some dancing?
More items on the in the list, then there will chances are there we might get more funding. But if you put just a specific item, then maybe chances are we get the less funding.
That's a good point.
And then obviously, if you are focusing on the family, then, you know, there's has to be activities for our kids too, right?
Right.
So,
yeah.
I'm just wondering if they will change the day, because I think they were quite specific for the past application.
Well, they were first. They are, and if you look at the application even for 2024, it says the only one that has to be on that day is July 1st.
Oh, okay.
So I'm thinking they're probably going to be a little lenient. At least worth looking into, but you're right, it has to be for all ages sort of thing. That complicates things a little bit too. You'd have to have different activities. It's certainly a lot of time to plan. I know you have to put it on paper so that...
Because on the July 1st activities, we have to, like, pretty much I included last year, the activities for kids, music and food.
Right.
You know, so it caters pretty much everybody's needs, so over here we have to look those things too.
Well, hopefully it'll be some outside too. I mean, I don't know if you can get into sports or not. That might be too hard. And the people who might be interested too, they might want to limit themselves to food, but it'd be nice to have other activities.
If you're going to do sports, you'd have to do cricket for Sri Lankans or anything. Yeah. So.
It could be tough, yeah.
Bring Hurry out. Hurry played cricket. I'll bring his stuff out. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I have played cricket in a real competition. We lost hopelessly because it was much Canadians like me, but there you go.
It's a possibility, too, even of, I don't know how long people, but for instructional videos and that sort of thing. And like you mentioned, rather than actually play the sport, you can have some indication of what the cultural background and.
Sure.
Throwing out some ideas here. I know it doesn't help you fill out the application, but
maybe a recreation committee will help us.
That's right. I'm sure they will. Yeah.
Well, if you want to involve kids, I'm sure that's where probably the recreation committee could jump in and take care of that aspect. You know, because we've got been doing a lot of kids stuff with the 150 committee this year and kind of thinking set up. You know, wherever, and if it means getting more money from a grant, yes, let's include some kids stuff in it. I'm sure somebody will help spearhead and take care of that.
See, I'm almost thinking that there shouldn't be a great cost to this anyway, but
no,
if people are coming and they're willing to share culture, I mean, I guess, you know, it'd be nice to pay them for food and that, but especially if you have a lot of people running through, you don't want them to pay for everything. But I'm not thinking it's going to be a huge expense, but
yeah,
it might
be. They like to give funding to pay artists is one thing. So if you
right.
have different cultures where they have
yeah.
entertainers, they'll give you money to hire entertainers in, kind of thing. Seems to be a tendency with the 150 committee this year where it was to pay, you know, entertainment, which is nice. It enhances the show kind of thing. So, but Roseanne knows much about that as anybody. So,
you know what, I think this can really morph. They used to have this thing in Toronto, like the Caravan. It was called Caravan. So
mm-hmm.
something like that right here in McKellar, you know, like... where you need a passport, and you get your passport stamp when you go to each little...
okay, we've got somebody volunteering to organize it. Does that give you enough? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
We could even have a parade. With all the cultures and their flags.
Well, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
When Elvis has to be there.
But with the parade, I mean, the idea would stay away from the highway because that's too many headaches. But now we've got the extra law here, and I know Councillor Haskell had talked about it, coming up a walking trail, so you could actually start at the highway, depending on where your cars are parked,
mm-hmm.
and go around that area and then come up to people could watch from the different spots. And it'd all be on township property. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And they can wear their different clothes,
sure.
you know, traditional clothing or whatever. Mm-hmm. Flags.
Most places, summer shorts.
Yeah.
The interesting thing from traveling a lot and going to God knows how many countries, probably 25 plus, is that most cultures that I visited, which is primarily the Caribbean, would say, well, what's the national this or that, you know, and clothing and things like that, and, you know, what's the national food, and, you know, all those things. And frankly, if you're Canadian, you sit and you go, I don't know, we don't have one. Right, because we aren't really one culture, we're
so
a melting pot of all kinds. But and it comes up, it came up with great frequency. Like casually, when you're discussing with people in a social situation, they would ask me those kinds of questions, and honestly, I couldn't answer any of them because, like even for food, what would you say, poutine? But I mean, that's a bit of a stretch.
Just think back
right?
to Doug and Bob and Doug.
Yeah, well,
back bacon here.
and that would be true, but there isn't a national. It's not designated as that anyhow, so or an ethnic costume, if you want to call it that. But anyhow, and it's rather unique, I think, right, that we don't. So,
the amendment was to delete Celebrate Canada. I don't know why that was changed. I'm not sure we have to delete it. That's the name of the actual program. Celebrate Canada is just the overall name, right? Somehow,
yeah.
I think even if we just
does it say Celebrate Canada funding program?
Okay. So we don't have to have.
Well, you could have that if you just want to put that as
okay.
the stream or something, or
okay.
that we're following. Or is it sub? What do you call it? Not subgenre.
I'm going to just rewrite that one because you're never going
to
make sense of it.
Yeah, remember, I have to read it, so I'm gonna.
Yeah.
You're just thankful that you didn't have to read the pool resolution, which went on for
it's coming up.
I know, but while you're doing that, I'm gonna take a bio break.
No, we have to be fair.
He has to declare a conflict of interest.
Well, I can go and come back before you finished. I'm certain of that. So.
Okay, the resolution reads 23-702, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation Township of Kelly is hereby direct Treasurer to apply for the Celebrate Canada funding program for activities organized on June 27, 2024 for Canadian Multiculturalism Day. Any further discussion? And of course, we'll be looking at moving that date a bit. Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Okay, resolution 23-703, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Keller does hereby give bylaw number 2023-74, being a bylaw to amend bylaw 2019-07, being a bylaw to adopt the Council staff relations policy of first and second reading. Discussion.
Ask what the genesis of this is, like why now?
Because it's something I discovered, and I knew it was in place, but as I looked at it, it was done originally, I think, a few years back by a solicitor.
Okay.
And maybe Ina has more information on why it's an important policy to have in place. But then I looked at some of the things that were added by previous councils. And I got thinking, is that something we really want in there, especially the one clause? We've never followed that. Maybe previous councils were looking at that, staff hiring staff, except in an emergency situation. And that reads in there, the policy as it stands. I can't even find it here.
Yeah,
there it is.
Yeah.
That.
Number 4.
Right at the top. There,
yeah.
Liaison between council and staff, direct implementation of council's policies, and this is for the senior management, and hire and develop a team of competent staff. Which we, this council anyway, we haven't followed that particular procedure. So.
No.
And the others, I think, I'm looking at over 10 in particular. I think they were added by previous councils, and to me it's, well, just the way it's done, I'm not saying it's, I mean, usually we rely on the expertise of staff and the reports that they come up with, and if they can't, I mean, they know they have contacts as well, people they can contact, but for a member of council to say that I know more about this than you do, and I'm going to sort of step out of my role and make suggestions, and I'm just not sure whether that's an appropriate thing to do. We should be relying on staff for the professionalism, and I think it covers us as well. I don't think a counselor should necessarily be in there doing reports and just the way it was worded, and I don't know who put it in, but it concerned me a little bit. But again, it's council discussion, and you've had this now for a weekend, and if you have any further suggestions, I think it's, Ina will probably speak to it too, the policies. It is a policy that you're supposed to have in place.
It is a policy supposed to have in place, and actually I just met with Sarah Cormier last week,
okay.
And she looked over the policies, and she did, it's, what she had mentioned is that you have to have that clear dividing line between governance and administration. Council makes the policies, makes the decisions, and then that you rely on your staff to provide you with the information to make those decisions and to implement what your decision is based on that information. It's up to council to let us know if they need further information. You direct us to get that further information, get a legal opinion or, you know, some kind of a professional opinion, whether it be from an accountant or a lawyer or a real estate agent, go to the expert that's there. But that was the genesis of that, was that you make sure that you've got that clear defining line.
And I think the other key too, the other thing would be coming forward at some point, the conflict of interest that KPMG talked about, We want to make a situation. They talked about staff not having outside employment that might conflict with their jobs within the township. And I think the same sort of thing with number 10. My concern is that's pretty well the same thing KPMG was saying, a conflict of interest for members of council. And because here it's suggesting that some of them might be a technical expert.
Yeah.
And it says you'll work such and such, but then sometimes you get into problems, people saying that, well, as an example, IT is not doing his job. I know more about IT than he does. And I don't think we want to get into that. If somebody's not doing a particular good job, if people aren't happy with it, then we look at other professionals in the field rather than saying, you know, the counselor's going to do it. So I think it just, as you say, it draws that line that's there. That anyway, just some suggestions. And there are a number of policies, I think Ina will speak to that at some point. There are a number of policies that we need in place through the Municipal Act, and I think we have most of them, as you said.
Yeah.
But we'll have to revisit, and it'd be nice to have those available, even on the web page, so people could see the various policies that are in place. And
I've been working on that, already having a report on those policies. There's 9 specific policies that were required by the Municipal Act that we have to have in place. I just have a question on one of them because I couldn't find that we have a specific hiring policy, but hiring is covered in our HR policy. So I just need clarification from Municipal Affairs whether that can be something joint. Other than that, we've got all of them in place. The only recommendation is that we review them to make sure that everything needs to be updated.
And that's when this one came into place, as the introduction says, March 1st, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was, that's when several were legislated,
yes,
to be put in place, including the tree canopy,
yep,
policy.
That's one of them.
Okay, so this is just, again, open for further comment. If you have any additions, most of those were deletions, so it's just first and second reading. We'll call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Unfinished business, if you've seen the list. Is there anything you want to pull from the unfinished that you should be working on more quickly? Or and I know more can be added.
Yeah. I thought, and I have to see the exact resolution or direction council gave in regards to the official plan and zoning bylaw that we're...
Well, certainly we have to budget for that next year's budget, because that's something we have to cleared up, and hoping we don't get any appeals, but it's something we'll have to do, and certainly look at a professional planner. I've been working a bit on what happened to the previous ones and all the appeals that come in when the change from 9512 into 2000, whatever the date was, 19 or something.
2019-23.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those are things that, and they're all color-coded, I think, but if we can get a planner in at some point and start to put together a document, and then we can also deal with the short-term rental, get information, whether that should be part of the policy. We thought that it would be a good time to do it, and maybe also ask the province at that point for official plan amendment authority.
Yeah.
And see if they're agreeable to that. They've actually talked about making a lot of changes to official plans, actually, with the ministerial zoning orders, wiping out official plans, not even paying attention to them. So it looked like they were fairly lenient and think changes they wanted to make, but then they got some blowback from, I think, AMO and probably other places saying that, no, you just can't override what the municipalities have in place in their official plans and the zoning. And so they pulled in a bit, I think, on what they planned on doing. They've had a couple experiences, certainly, with the Greenbelt and the other pre-zoned lands. And so I'm just thinking that's something we'll have to budget for. It won't be a short process, I don't think. I mean, we went through it years back with the studies we did, and It won't be short, and it probably won't be cheap. But it'd be nice to have some legislation that you can turn to, and I just don't know when we can do that, and who we would employ, because the previous planner we had, of course, he's retiring, so we'd have to look out and see who else is available. And we've used J.L. Richards, I know, in the past for applications, so we'd have to talk about that at a future home. Anything else, sir? New business, we have, before we get into the committee reports, we have one here that brought to my attention. I think we're probably okay without doing it tonight, but it's on here, so might as well cover it. Resolution 23-704, moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Kelleher does hereby appoint the whole of Council for 1 year, and Reg Moore for the present term of Council to sit on the Committee of Adjustment for the Township of Kelleher, and further that resolution number 22-475 be rescinded. Discussion? It's a weird one.
Is that every year? Every
year the council has to be appointed, any council members. But the layperson is on for the full term. It's just the reverse of.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, I know in a lot of municipalities there may be one councillor sitting on the Committee of Adjustment, but a lot of times it is lay people. But my feeling's always been that they make decisions then, and the only way the council can get involved is to appeal the decision if they don't like it. Mm. And then you're in a situation, why not have the council the approval authority at some point in on the ground floor?
Yeah.
But not everybody does that.
Is there a total number of people that are supposed to be on that committee?
I think there's a minimum of three, but I'm not sure what maximum. And some places they only have three. Mm. I think Whitestone just has three. And I think two of them are lay people. So. But with a number of applications, it seems like quite a few, that I don't know how they handle it in other places, to be honest.
I think it's good that the members of council are on, because it keeps us refreshed on the zoning bylaw and our planning documents.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay, any further discussion on that one? Call the question then, all those in favor? Not opposed, carried.
It's easier to sign than it is to read.
You can get us a couple more documents in there, what we need. No, that's on there too. Yeah. Resolution 23-705, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Ryland. Whereas the Corporation of the Township of McKellar, known as McKellar, recognizes that a recreation and cultural center is an important amenity for the economic and social well-being of the residents of West Prairie Sound, including the residents of McKellar. And whereas McKellar has always attempted to be a willing participant and contributor in area-wide initiatives that are practical, responsible, and especially affordable to its ratepayers. Whereas McKellar entered into the West Prairie Sound Recreation and Cultural Center Joint Municipal Service Board, known as the Board Agreement, known as the Agreement, on September the 10th, 2021, Whereas McKellar has since obtained legal advice regarding an interpretation of obligations contained within said agreement. Whereas the board was provided delegated authority to act on behalf of the corporation that was of McKellar to provide, to quote, provide for those matters which, in the opinion of the participating municipalities, are necessary or desirable to facilitate the establishment and operation of the Joint Municipal Service Board, end quote. And whereas the agreement states in clause number 3 that, quote, the capital costs for the design and construction of the center shall not exceed $32 million, the amount of municipal and ISIC funding available at the time of signing this agreement, end quote. And whereas McKellar was of the understanding that his capital contribution for the project would be collected over time as invoices were submitted during construction instead of the surprising demand of full payment at one time, necessitating the requirement of obtaining a loan in the amount of $775,000 at an interest rate of 4.41% for a period of 10 years to be repaid in annual payments of $96,678.54, which follows a 10-year amortization period and equal to approximately 2.5% of McKellar's current levy to fund the capital cost of the pool complex. And whereas the agreement states in clause number 4 that the, quote, the board is authorized to add capital improvements, in other words, new projects, to the center from time to time up to a limit of $350,000 per budget year, as adjusted by the annual building construction price index, BCPI, Ontario, end quote, the line item in McKellar's annual budget being approximately $30,000. And whereas the agreement states in clause number 9 that, quote, joint municipal contributions to fund the annual operating deficit shall be capped at $350,000 annually, indexed to CPI, end quote. And further that, quote, any deficit larger than this amount to be covered by municipal contributions shall require approval of the municipalities, end quote, resulting in another line item in McKellar's annual budget in the amount of approximately $30,000. Whereas the agreement states in clause number 13 that the capital budget shall project capital replacement and rehabilitation expenditures for the upcoming 10-year period, which shall be determined by an asset management plan prepared within 2 years of this agreement coming into effect to address future capital requirements for the center over a 10-year period, resulting in another line item in McKellar's annual budget in the amount of approximately $30,000. And whereas an independent study conducted by BDO dated June 15, 2023, concluded that the board will, quote, need to address projected cash flow shortfall of $740,000, end quote, 8.5% of which McKellar is responsible. And whereas the independent study conducted by BDO noted that, quote, medium risk considerations include revenue assumptions, construction of a six-lane pool, and funding contributions, end quote. And whereas the agreement states that, quote, the municipality shall share the burden of the annual contributions to the operating budget and the capital budget, including contributions to the capital reserve as determined by the asset management plan, according to the following percentages, end quote, with McKellar's percentage listed as 8.5%. And whereas the agreement states in clause number 23 that, quote, any term in this agreement may be changed upon a two-thirds vote of the municipalities, save and except where another municipality wishes to join the board and enter into this agreement, or where a municipality wishes to withdraw from the board in this agreement, or where the funding formula is to be changed, in which case all municipalities to this agreement must give their consent, end quote. And whereas the project has dramatically changed in the scope, little attempt at de-scoping since its inception, and since this agreement was signed, and with the potential addition of two more 25-meter pool lanes, a possible relocation which may result in a change of ownership, and the urging of the fundraising committee for the public to forward suggestions regarding additions to the design of the facility, regardless of extra cost. And whereas many of these potential changes are proposed to be financed through fundraising, the nature of which is uncertain and without guarantees, with any deficits to be covered by municipal funding. And whereas the professional fundraisers have been put on hold or paused at this time, and whereas it has been demonstrated on numerous occasions that the weighted voting system and the funding formula are grossly inadequate and unfair, with McKellar's vote weighted as 1/12 of the total, and the other partner municipalities weighted as Seguin 3/12, Parry Sound 3/12, McDougall 2/12, Archipelago 2/12, Carling 1/12. And whereas McKellar's recent 5-year capital budget forecast indicates that the township could experience a projected shortfall of $5 million for necessary infrastructure, in particular roads, bridges, and facilities, excluding any costs associated with the proposed recreation and cultural center project. And whereas the Municipal Act 2001, SO 2001, Chapter 25, specifically states and is referenced by the recent independent study completed by BDO financial experts, the role of council is, among other responsibilities, to maintain the financial integrity of the municipality. That's section 224D. And whereas council is of the opinion that McKellar cannot agree to sign a blank check with a potential minimum of 5% increase in annual levies to finance his project over and above the historical capital and operating budget for the municipality, now therefore be it resolved that the council of the corporation of the township of McKellar does hereby notify the board that it wishes to invoke clause number 23 of the agreement and requests all municipalities to this agreement to agree to McKellar's immediate withdrawal from this board and this agreement. And further be it resolved that McKellar shall honor its one-time maximum financial commitment towards capital construction in the amount of approximately $735,000 and its commitment to contribute annually towards any operating deficit of the facility up to 8.5% of such annual deficit, provided that the annual maximum contribution shall not exceed $30,000 commencing in the first year of the facility's operation for a total of 10 years, with the annual maximum amount to be increased by the annual consumer price index as of September of the preceding year. And further be it resolved that operating deficit means where the operating costs and expenses incurred by the facility as determined under generally accepted accounting principles, GAAP, that are related to the operation of the facility, which will not include depreciation of reserve funds, exceed the membership revenue, and any other operating revenue received by the board. McKellar shall have the ability to review all operating costs, revenues, and expenses and satisfy itself of the said deficit. And further be it resolved that McKellar's role in respect to the project is limited to making a financial contribution to the project. McKellar will henceforth not be involved in the project or its operation as decision makers nor administrators, as evidenced by McKellar's rescinding of his designated authority to the board, acting as an agent of the municipality, and its rescinding of council resolutions appointing council representatives and its clerk administrator acting as a member of the steering committee. And finally, be it resolved that a copy of this resolution be forwarded to each of the participating partners in the proposed project. In other words, the Township of the Archipelago, Township of Carling, the Municipality of McDougall, the Town of Perry Sound, Township of Seguin, the Municipality of Whitestone, Shawnigaw First Nation, Wasoxing First Nation, MPP Graydon Smith, MP Scott Aitchison, MPP Kinga Surma, Minister of Infrastructure for the ISIP Community Culture and Recreation Infrastructure Stream, the Province of Ontario, and the Federal Government of Canada. Discussion?
It's well written.
We'll see.
Pardon me?
We'll see how it...
My point of view, at least, anyhow.
All the question then, all those in favor? None opposed, carried.
Could have added a couple of pages though.
Committee report? In any order?
I just want to say about the library. Don't forget to get your comments in.
Well, that's right.
Because they count.
What's the end date for that?
17th.
That's the end date, yeah. So there's quite a few in there now, but it's really doing well. So we find out December the 1st by phone if we get it. So that would be great if they do get it.
You can't go in twice and do it or anything, can you? I mean, is that...
No, but like you can have your family do it, right?
Grandkids?
Yeah, why not? Like, really, you could. Why couldn't you?
Yeah, I don't think
because they use
age.
The library, right? They don't know.
They do.
You know what I mean?
So,
yeah.
I never thought of it. Thank you. That's a good suggestion. Why not? So, it'd have to be, you know, their words, but I mean, or their. I don't have any accounts or anything that you could link to, but anyhow,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. In public notices, can I talk to that? Or.
Oh, sure.
Because we're in committee reports,
yep.
But can I?
Sure.
So I was just curious as to the Monday, the 13th. It's,
mm-hmm.
It's, we're taking that off?
Taking it off?
That day is?
Yes.
It's
yes.
Off?
Yeah.
So we received emails, right, that said that we were taking that time, that the office
yes.
would be closed then,
yeah.
But I didn't see any consensus of all of council.
It's in the HR boss bylaw.
And I just wanted to mention, too, that the only other township that has that is taking a day is Whitestone. All the others are working. That's all.
I did look it up on the provincial page for that, and it's definitely listed there. So
it says optional.
Which page? Hold on. What are you saying here? You looked what up? That Remembrance Day is a statutory holiday in Ontario?
Yeah.
It's not.
Well,
this,
I looked it up. Here, I can do a search right now.
Yeah. It's
only federal and certain provinces.
It's not. This is right from the Employment Standards Act from today, and it is not a statutory or a public holiday. I don't know what site you're looking at.
Okay.
So it is a holiday defined in our HR policy as
right.
well. A lot of municipalities do take off Remembrance Day. Some choose to close their office and the staff take the day off. The municipal offices that are not closed on Remembrance Day, their staff usually receive a day in lieu.
No, but Remembrance Day is this year is on Saturday, and I phoned out the Perry Sound, Seguin, Carling, McDougall, Whitestone. The only one that is taking Archipelago, the only one that is taking a day off is Whitestone.
So banks are also
yeah,
observing them
on
the
banks.
On the Monday. For the town of Perry Sound, their employees get a day in lieu, so they use a floater day. Same with the Archipelago. They use it to cover their Christmas break. So although it looks like the municipalities are open, but the employees are also getting that day, or they get to choose the day they're off.
And that's an important consideration. If it's a day in lieu, it may not be the Monday,
right?
But it could be another day, so that's what she's saying.
No, I understand. I just don't feel, with it being on a Saturday, why are we, you know, if it was on a Friday, I can understand, but if it's in the HR policy, what can
it's in there, and it was in there 2004, I think, when we first brought that in, and it was listed there. Now, the other one that we talked about, I think, I think the Truth and Reconciliation Day is something fairly recent. And when we can talk to Human Resources, I think that's September 30th, we'll have to look at that. It's adding it to the list, and the same with Family Day. I don't think it's in there, although it's been observed in the township, I think, over the years.
So when we discuss the HR policy, we can pull out Remembrance Day?
We can discuss it.
And we can discuss that?
But my thought was, why wouldn't that... something like that be on an agenda? Why wouldn't that be on the agenda? Why are we getting an email? There's different things that we're getting email to have consensus on when we're supposed to be not doing council business by email. We're supposed to be doing it in council.
Yes, as much as possible. We're trying to be proactive and do things through council transparent meetings and not through email. But you're right, in this case, I don't know, something slipped through, I guess. And I know there have been situations, too, that Carly can confirm. I think there was one that was getting near the end of the week, and I know we're going to be closed on the Monday, so I contacted you and said, make sure we advertise it. Whitestone's just advertised it. And then there was a situation that slipped through, too, that it was closed. I don't know if it was Thanksgiving. It was never advertised. I guess it was just assumed that it was closed. And then we had a bit of a kerfuffle with the transfer station, whether it was going to be open or closed. The announcement came out that it was open, but the attendant didn't necessarily know that. So
no,
we have to improve communication, certainly. Yeah.
That's all for me.
Okay. Other committee reports?
Quickly, Perry Sound Area Planning Board, we had 5 consent applications. Hopefully by next meeting we'll have a new secretary treasurer signed up and one of 2 planning consultant companies at our next meeting. The 150th, they had a successful historical bus tour on October 29th. The 150th has a Ukrainian dinner and show coming up November 25th, along with a couple more items this year before it ends. Rec committee, really successful trick or trunk. I think it was about 90 kids. I was going to ask Rojan for a rec budget update.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a lot of kids, eh?
You have his phone number, don't
you? Yeah, I'll just call him because this meeting's going on, but I don't know. At our last rec committee meeting, if I can remember this McKellar expense claim form, there's nothing in place to that where a vice chair could assign it instead of the chair, or is that just an automatic
assumption?
That would
be an automatic that it would be the same if I wasn't here. Carly would sign in my absence. Same thing.
Okay.
If the chair wasn't available at that meeting.
So
a
vice chair can sign. And can, even if the chair is available, can the vice chair sign a claim by the chair?
Yes, in that case, yes. If the chair is making the claim, then
okay.
The vice chair would
sign. Okay, that should just clarify that.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. And the only other thing was St. Stephen's Church. I went over and had a look at it, and it looks great. They backfilled it, and they put in some nice big rock slab steps because the church actually sits a couple of feet higher now. So, and it used to have a stone step out front, just one
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. But I guess the bill, guy who did the foundation donated these slabs. I know they're worth a lot of money, big stone slabs with steps going down, kind of thing. So it looks pretty good.
Speaking of which, mm-hmm. I've already had a complaint about the steps. I want to ramp because the steps for older people, they said they're just not accessible.
Uh-huh.
And then she also talked about accessibility, AODA or whatever it's
mm-hmm.
called, coming in, and there should be a ramp there instead of steps.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Wonder if we
it's fairly steep, as you say. Your ramp would have to. Unless you started way out.
Yeah, you have to start way out or come in another direction. But
1 foot out for every foot up, something like that. I've built them before, anyhow. And in other words, it would have to go out maybe 30, 40 feet. How much of a rise do you think it is?
1 inch per foot up.
1 inch per foot, sorry, yeah, that's right.
Or 1 inch up for
every foot out.
Could a different exit? There is the back door, and it's a lot more level to the ground. Could there be a different?
If you offer both
access?
Entrances,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is another entrance around the back, so handicap.
Then you could still keep the rock.
Yeah, that's right. So I wonder if we could look into that possibility. Yeah, I don't know. It would be Greg. We would have to look into what's going to be required as far as that. Say if we are required to put a ramp in, I guess. And same with Hemlock, it's going to be a challenge, too.
Well, that's good. So you've got. You're in charge of that.
Why did I even bring it up?
Yeah. Well, I was going to mention it anyway because she
sure.
confronted me on Remembrance Sunday there and said,
oh,
yeah, it looks nice, but. Other committees?
So I could mention something about the transition from a community policing advisory committee to a community policing advisory board. It's quite a, once the Community Policing and Safety Act comes into place, there's a regulatory registry process where the board transition process goes onto that provincial site where people can comment. But it's going to be quite a large bureaucratic transition from what we currently have, where the OPP hosts the meetings, administration, they look after the meetings, where as the board, which is going to be similar to the pool board, all of a sudden is in charge of meetings, liability, website, updating websites, developing policies, training for the committee members, and then the what is it, a monthly or yearly? A yearly fee paid to the members of the board. And what I've heard on other boards, each member gets at that particular board $3,000 a year. There's going to be 12 members on this board. So there's going to be quite a few expenses, and you know the concerning thing is that when you look through the documentation, when the province was put organizing to have these boards put in place, they seem to indicate that there's half of the municipalities in Ontario don't have a board. Well, a lot of them have committees, so they didn't even acknowledge, you know, the good work and the structure that exists. They almost. It was almost like a sales job to say that we have to do this because half the municipalities don't have boards without recognizing that. So I hope that municipalities at that point will, during the comment period, protest in some one way or another and say, well, why can't we just go forward with the committees that we have and their structure instead of completely transitioning to this other board system. So,
but are they changing the legislation? So maybe CPAC won't exist. I mean, if they change it all to Police Services Board, as you say, then maybe there's got to be some input before they. My understanding was they're talking the spring of next year. That's when they started to change the legislation. So you got to get to the people before then, like our MPP and that sort
right.
of thing.
Right. So there was, you know, I've been in contact with the Minister of the Solicitor General just to ensure that we were at the right place at this point in the transition, if we've we're up to date with what we need to have in place. And they seem to indicate that, yep, you've filled out the application. It's been approved, and just wait for the next stage of going on to the Ontario Regulatory Registry. Well, so happens that the detachment commander forwarded some information to me that indicated that there's training sessions going on, and so at this training session, which we were very fortunate to be able to zoom into, considering that we don't belong to the Ontario Association of Police Services Boards, we were still able to zoom into this meeting and found out a lot of information of what we should be working on. So the goal now is to obtain membership on this Ontario Association of Police Services Board so that the West Parry Sound CPAC members can attend the next training session, which has to do with budgeting for these boards. And after that presentation is done, or that information session, then the goal is to have the representatives from the Ministry of Solicitor General, those who gave the presentation at these Ontario Association Police Service Board meetings, to give those presentations and have an open invitation to all the councillors, mayors, CEOs, treasurers in the West Parry Sound area, so that everyone's aware of what's, and the First Nations that receive OPP policing, to be aware of what is supposedly imminently going to be taking place April 1st, 2024.
So is there somebody from your CPAC that's onto this, other than the detachment commander, who's trying to set up a meeting like this with all the councils? And the
well, I'm the lead contact, and right now I'm trying to organize membership on the Ontario Association of Police Services Board,
mm-hmm.
because once we receive membership, then we receive the benefits, which would be that those who give the presentation on these information sessions would be invited to come and give the presentation to this larger group. So that's the goal right now, is just to get membership status, and then that opens some doors.
So would that come through a resolution of each council? Or could CPAC do it as a representative?
We're doing it through CPAC, okay. Just that membership status for West Parry Sound.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the application form and instructions, and so the last response I received is the membership drive will be taking place in the next couple of weeks. So, but I did emphasize that even if that's the case, I want to achieve membership before the 15th and 16th, when the budget information sessions take place, so that all our members can attend that Zoom meeting. So
that would be good. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like more downloading. The province is, making sure that each area. I think of DSAB when it went from welfare board to DSAB. It was all handled. It wasn't handled through the province. The province initiated it, but then they had a local representative from North Hemsworth who did the presentation on behalf of the province. He was the mayor up there, and we had the meeting right here in the hall. And he was saying, "This is what we need to do. We need to come up with a governance model." Which I supplied at the time, and they're still using it, which is great. I can't believe, because it was a 15-member board, and they questioned at the time. That seemed like a big board, but it had all the Parry Sound district involved, so you had to, and it was only organized by planning boards a lot of times, and that's how we did it. But again, it's a weighted vote. You're representing, like we do in Belvedere. And that's what I like about the police services board, to go that way. Each township has one rep, as opposed to Belvedere, where you're representing three municipalities, and others are representing two or three. DSAT's the same thing, you're representing four. And I think it'd be great to have them come here. And as you say, the actual people from the province, people working in this ministry, to come and do the presentations, rather than, you know, give it to somebody in the area who might not even like what's happening with CPAC. They don't want to see it destroyed, and yet they'll be the representative for the province new plan. Everybody has to be a police services board, and that'd be great if you get it organized. And hopefully you can offer up our room too. We've been here for the hospital meeting, all the townships came together, and DSAB, they all came together over there. You were part of, I think you were probably part of it. For DSAB anyway, we had townships from all over the place. They came and they sat at their individual tables, and that
right.
When it came time to vote, it's they were all part of it.
And we had the area-wide meeting for the when the CINO grant was being proposed here at the Power Community Center.
Excellent.
I can't remember how that was structured. If it was McKellar Township, I can't remember, like, you know, how it was structured, considering that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I believe all the members of council and the mayor were there. So did we run it as a special council meeting?
Speaking of the CINO grant, I don't know whether it's the same through the Economic Development Collaborative. Is that
yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. They've had a meeting, and it's rather interesting to hear that many of the townships are questioning the value of an EDO for the whole area. And so what they're doing, they're putting together, maybe I'm as part of it now, the steering committee, I think, has to organize something.
They're putting a package together.
And it'll deal with governance, I guess, and probably funding formula and different things we have to look at. Because obviously we're paying $6,200 right now per year, but with... And whether you hire another EDO or what you want to do, Prairie Sound has its own, and I guess they're willing to share at a cost. But do we need another EDO, and do we even want to be part of it? So that's the thing. They're going to have something to us before our meeting in December. They're supposed to have it the weekend before, so we all get a chance to see it and whether we want to buy into it. And I would expect the costs will be quite extensive. Especially if you're thinking of hiring another EDO. But so I don't have much more to say on that one, except you were there in person, and I was through Zoom, because I knew it was going to be a snowstorm, and I didn't want to be caught in that. So.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, it was.
But it was nice that a lot of the mayors all had the same concerns. What have we actually gotten out of it? It was grant money, but was the return on that grant money, was it worth it?
Yeah. That's valid, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Resolution 23-706, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar does hereby receive the consent agenda for correspondence. Is there anything you want pulled from there? Resolution 23-707, moved by Councilor Rodden, second by Councilor Haskin, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar hereby give bylaw number 2023-75, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed an open Council the 7th day of November 2023. Discussion? Question? All those in favor?
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
About our resolution for the pool? Are we going to have that forwarded to them?
I don't know the procedure. I assume it would be.
Like for tomorrow?
I would like to have that out first thing. That's the first thing on the list, is that I want that out.
Okay. And then also, since it says in this here that we are no longer part of it, would I be attending the meeting if there's one tomorrow?
I think the question is, they have to accept this, first of all.
Okay.
And if they don't accept it, then I guess we're still part of it. They all have to approve.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if they'll do it that quickly, so I would say yes, you're still
okay.
on it. So,
right. Okay.
I mean, we can say no right now, but...
Yeah, okay.
Okay. I was looking for one clarification on that, too.
Because the reps or steering committee have to go back to all our councils, right?
Right.
To get them to all...
It'll take some time.
Yeah, I would think so. I don't know how we can butter them up in some way in the meantime. I don't know, really.
Well, what I kept hoping all along, and I kept hearing it at meetings, was that this is it, we're not getting any more. You just mentioned it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, no more money. But, I mean, there's always that but, and they seem to be leaning that way, that, well, if we have to do this, and we'll do it. And that's what concerned me, that I don't think there is a line in the sand yet. I'd have to go back to the councils, not necessarily the CEOs, but I don't know, they seem to be all set on this, that we get a pool regardless of cost. So even though, as I say, they mentioned publicly that there is a limit, sometimes I wonder. But we'll see if they get true to their words that they won't spend any more. Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed. Carried. And I guess we should open it up to the public too if they have any questions.
No,
items on the agenda? Okay.
They've all gone to bed.
So we have resolution 23-708, moved by Councillor Tepe and second by Councillor Zulak. We resolve the Council of Corporation Township of Keller adjourn this meeting at
10:30 p.m.
Meet again on November 21st, 2023. We're at the call of the mayor. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Meeting is done.